Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, brothers.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
And from Laramie. And men, looking forward to a good program. We'll let you know when the callers come on, and we'll be here.
All right. Thank you, sir. Sure appreciate it. And we do welcome you here to Hope is Alive, the show about testimony, the testimony of those who were set free, the captives that were set free in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, performed by everyday Christians. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can always go to deliveranceusa.com. That website is a wealth of information to be able to help you with all the tools that you need for deliverance. Or you can order the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book. I think we ask a $20 offering for it, and he will get it out to you. Pastor, here we are again. It just seems like it was just yesterday and we were talking after the show, and
yes.
I can't believe it snuck up on us again. I mean, sometimes the week just flies by.
It goes so fast, and of course, look what all has happened nationally and
I know.
Even worldwide in just last week to this week.
And I was reading in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians this evening before I came on a radio program, and I found two scriptures that are really pertain to what we talk about here each week. And I happen to have them highlighted, so I'm going to read them again. In, the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. Not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. And there it is, the scripture. I knew I had it written down somewhere. I never could remember exactly where it was, but as I was reading it, there's that proof that the word of God performs itself in the believers. And we do encourage you to proclaim the words, especially with the I Ams. Proclaim the words of Psalms 91, especially in today's charged climate. And just to keep working with that. And then here's another scripture just a little bit down on verse 18. For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us. Well, it seems to me, just from that scripture alone, that Satan hinders Christians. Wouldn't you say so, Pastor?
Amen. So true. We seem to be the targets, and just like 1 Peter 5:8, that our adversary, the devil, stalketh about like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour, who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are coming upon the brethren. And, you know, we've got these satanic assignments coming out of Satan's war room, kind of like that was scripture was referring to. And then we've got these doors that we allow the tormentors to come in on us. So it's kind of complicated in a way, but then once you learn it, then you can deal in it very nicely. Praise God for the word.
Yes, amen, amen, as it does perform itself. So, Pastor, did you have ministry this Monday?
Well, yes, we had 18 on the list, but just we did a total of 11 cases Monday night, and I had a awesome case. It was a man with level 4 cancer. Not expected to live until June. Doctors had given up on him. He had a brain tumor. They operated but couldn't get the parts of it, so they just given him up. Well, some friends of his suggested he try deliverance, so he came last night, and it was pretty exciting. I was able to get the head demon up. I did other things, too, of course, and he went through the door closing prayer. I noticed he was kind of holding the left side of his head during some of the teaching and the door closing prayer in pain up there. That's where the tumor was. And I was able to get the head demon up, and it was Jezebel. And as I interrogated it as to was it responsible for this cancer, it admitted it was. It had put it on him, and I said, well, you can take it off, can't you? And it said, yes. And I said, well, you confess what you just told me to be true for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Yes. So I commanded it to take every cancer cell out of his brain area and bind it up to him, up to Jezebel. It took about 5 minutes. And he also had mentioned in the interview that he was having a knee problem, and I also had asked the Jezebel if it had been responsible for his knee problem. So so it said yes, and I commanded it to take it, to fix it. He put it on him, he can fix it, which he finally admitted he did. But it took about 5 minutes, actually, for him to get all those brain cells out of cancer, of his brain area, and he was a little slow in doing it, and I had to have the angels prod it some. He was, of course, reluctant, didn't like being a prisoner of war, and had some special comments for me, which I'm accustomed to. They don't like Christians, funny how it is.
No,
anyway, he finally confessed that he had them all out, and pinned it down, or you confess what you just told me to be true for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I'll say yes or no to that. And then he fixed the knee, and finally I didn't go ahead and get the lies. I was anxious to get the cancer on out, or his gifts that I do in the head demon technique a lot, but I went ahead and finally sent Jezebel, and he had 7 demons under him, and there were like 14 or 15 that were there, he said, when he came in. I think it was 14, when he came into the church, the ministry. And, of course, as is typical, certain number of demons that left through the processes, the steps we go through, including the door-closing prayer. So, anyway, he had him bind those demons up to him and send them all out to a package in Jesus' name to count of 3. and he jerked in the chair, and there was a whale. He had his two friends that brought him sitting in watching all this. It was quite spectacular for training purposes. And then one of our new team leaders was sitting in. We had extra ministers. And praise God, he said, wow, that was something. He could hear these things talking through him. And then I did the limb check, and here his left leg was a good inch and a quarter short. So I had everyone sitting in the room there come over and look over my shoulder as I held up his shoes so they could see his heels. And I started commanding it to adjust in Jesus' name. And muscles, tendons, ligaments, and nerves, bones adjust, etc. And it was very slow. It was unusually slow coming out. Probably took, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes maybe. But it just slowly was coming out. And finally it got there, and everybody saw that. That was quite a distance, a good inch and a quarter. And then I had him walk around and check himself out and tell me if any pain. He could not find any pain, praise of God. I said, do something that bothers you. He was twisting around and all. No pain. No pain ahead. So that was exciting. And then I asked him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he knew about it, but he'd never been able to get his tongue. So took him through that, and praise God, he just cut loose with the flowing language just right off. And now we prayed along there quite a while in the tongues and finally stopped. And then we were praising the Lord and all. I said, well, let's go again just so you can see this is your private prayer language, and you can start and stop this anytime you wish. So we took off praying in tongues some more, and the guys that were with me, they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost sitting in there. And he just prayed along, you know, flowing language. Hallelujah. Well, there's no way he wouldn't be better. Amen.
Amen. And I'm believing that cancer's gone.
Amen. I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. But, my gosh, it was spectacular. And yes. And the fact he had no pain, including in his head, was a great sign, of course. So, hallelujah. I just, we have, though, due to what the president laid out on us for the task force, not to meet with groups of more than 10, well, that affects us in. So we have canceled now for 2 weeks, as he recommended. Our next Monday night session then will be April 6th. So we'll just keep believing all that's going to go away. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I do believe. And what a good good session for someone who's training to sit in. That was, I just thinking,
that
would have been awesome if I'd seen that when I first started training, because it lets you know right off the bat, as he said, well, that was interesting. That it's real, that this battle is real.
Yeah.
And that is just that's just an awesome thing to see. And this won't be when this man is healed. I believe he is when he gives his testimony, I should say.
Yes,
this won't be our first one with someone with stage 4 cancer. I remember the lady from St. Louis. I don't remember her name. I believe she had breast cancer. And she came up on a couple of times and given her testimony. And, man, the joy and excitement in her voice, as she said she knew as she was driving 44 on the way home, she knew she was healed. She knew she was healed.
Yes. Well, it was obvious something happened with this guy. And of course, when you start going into the manifestation, it was slow coming up. And I kept commanding. Finally, it said Jezebel. And then this guy starts in the manifestation, he starts kind of going forward in the chair, his head down, even about halfway, and his voice is different even. So, and I commanded to know if he'd been cast out before, And I think it said it had been once. It didn't talk real loud, and I had to get real close up to the guy's mouth to hear it. And but it was just this, the voice was meaner like and lower. It was just such a cool thing to set in on. I don't think they'd ever seen, at least the two that were setting in, the team leader had. But it was spectacular training thing.
Praise the Lord, someone was set free. Pastor, we have Karen waiting to come on. Karen, we thank you for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. Hi.
Hi, Karen. I'm so glad you called in. That's Ralph is on here with me. He's up in the Branson area. And well, Karen, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance has been like and changes you've seen and any other experiences that come to you. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I was saved when I was little, about 7 years old, but I guess I had walked away from God, you know, when I became a teenager and everything, and so I was, I guess, in my 30s when I became born again, I had met someone that I was in a relationship with, and we had gone to Houston to visit my brother, and ended up getting saved there and born again, and then filled with the Holy Ghost, and that was in 1988, and we've been serving God ever since. We both are in the ministry and have been in the ministry for years. But sometimes, right now we're in the middle of transition, going from one thing to another, but you know, sometimes when you're doing a lot of work, especially in the community where there's a lot of trauma and hurting people and everything, sometimes you need to go back through and get deliverance, you know, from, you know, because, you know, you want to fix people really bad, and we have to come to the realization we can't fix them, you know, that it's Jesus that does that. So sometimes things you've gone through, you have to go through and go through deliverance and get some inner healing, get some things broken off of you, and sometimes it's easy to get your heart hardened when you're doing that kind of work and everything, and so sometimes it's good to go back through deliverance, and good thing to keep your heart soft and, you know, your heart compassionate, you know, and loving, you know, when you're doing a lot of that kind of work. And I had noticed that, you know, I was having a lot of problems in my body, you know, as far as sickness and different things, and some of it I believe was just my fault, and some by not eating right, but then I knew some of it was, you know, some attack from the enemy and everything. And so I believe anytime you need any help, it's best to get help instead of just let it continue, you know, to where it causes more problems in your life and everything, or maybe causes some anxiety and depression and stuff. So I decided to go to deliverance and go through the process and get some things broken off of me and some inner healing done. And you know, we've taken people through deliverance ourselves before, and maybe not quite on as big a thorough, broad spectrum that you do, because y'all are very, very thorough. I was really impressed at how thorough y'all are, and, you know, you just touch every area in the person's life if they're willing to mark those things down and willing to say, I need help in this area, because it is very thorough, and it is very needed today in the body of Christ, deliverance. Jesus said he came to set the captives free, and he wants us all to be free and functioning so we can do our part in the body, because everybody's part in the body of Christ is important, and every little part is important. And there's a lot of hurting people out there in the world that are non-Christian and Christian, and it was really good for me. I did a lot of coughing and everything, you know, and I felt so much better afterward. The pain left my body. I had a lot of neck pain and things like that, and the pain left, and the pain hasn't come back. It's still gone, and that's been over a week, and I felt so much lighter and freer afterwards. It just kind of felt like you're almost walking on air. You know, you can feel that heaviness that was on you just lift off. So it really brings a lot of freedom, and also even to my mind and my sleeping patterns at night. I slept very well that night, and I've continued to sleep well every night, and because I was having a lot of sleeping problems, and I just feel so much better, you know, now, and I'm very thankful I went through it, and I would recommend it to anyone, and especially people, you know, that continually work in the medical field in different areas, you know, to where you see a lot of, you know, bad things happening, and, you know, but I feel a lot better now.
I thought we had good ministry. I was not able to get the head demon up, but that only works about 1 out of 3. And so I did basic of just working your problem list and others on the sheet that has the asterisk, since we found those are often there with the person. And yes, you did your share of coughing. Was your throat sore the next day?
Huh?
Was your throat sore from all that coughing?
No, you know, it wasn't. It wasn't. You know, it wasn't sore the next day or anything. You know, it was just, I just felt so much better everywhere in my body. And also, I was suffering with a lot of fatigue, tiredness in my body. And, that was gone. And, also, you know, sometimes in the morning I would get up, my mind would be real foggy, and the fogginess is gone too. So,
hallelujea.
So
that's awesome.
So I'm well pleased with it. I would recommend anyone to go do it and not be afraid of it, because, and you know, it's something that, you know, Jesus, you know, wants to set us free from things that are, you know, harming us, things that are going on in our bodies, and, you know,
Yes. Well, you've been around deliverance for a number of years, and you've probably seen some heavy manifestations, but we seldom have the heavy manifestations and the screaming and all that we used to have, because we learned to do these steps, you know, and the door-closing prayer takes the wind out of your tail a lot. And
I was very impressed with that, too,
sometimes.
You know, of your door opening prayers and everything. And I just always, you know, wanted to point out too, when I first went in, you know, to where people were first coming in the group, you could feel the presence of God and a heavy anointing there, and just a spirit of peace.
Praise
and
God.
Everything was already there in the room, because I know y'all pray a lot, you know, together and separately and everything before every session. So
in fact, we're sounding shofars off even before anybody arrives. That's
yeah.
It's like the heavy it's like the heavy artillery going in before the troops come in. It was
right.
Softening up.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It sounds like you definitely got a Jesus overhaul. Hallelujah.
Yes, I did, you know. And like I said, you know, even if your ministry, you know, don't let pride come in your way of getting help when you need help, because, you know, I think that's a big thing in the ministry today, too. Ministers, they don't get the help when they need it because they might be ashamed, they might be embarrassed, they might think, well, I'm supposed to be the perfect person here. Well, nobody's perfect. You know, we're all human. We all have weak areas in our life. And, you know, like I said, you know, when you work a lot, you know, in areas where there's a lot of, where you see a lot of trauma and a lot of hurt, you know, and everything, that can be overwhelming at times. And so it's best, you know, as a minister, just suck up the pride and get the help that you need, you know, to help further and go on with your ministry and be productive and help others, you know. And so I would recommend it.
Well, that's such a great point, people needing ministry. In fact, the matter is, even the ministers at Deliverance Ministries minister one to another from time to time. Of course, we're fairly quick to recognize something, some attack, some satanic assignment. You know, that's one thing I've learned from interrogating these head demons. Of the several dozen spirits that most people would have minimum, and I would find that out from the head demon how many are in there. But I find out also that about half of that, of the several dozen spirits, are there by a satanic assignment coming out of Satan's war room.
Right,
and put
on
Christians that have a lot of gifts and moving forward in the gospel. And the enemy recognizes that, and so they put these assignments out to block those gifts and to block that anointing, etc. And the good news is those assignments are really easy to cancel since we have all power, Luke 10:19, in which to do it.
But the
others are coming through the doors that we've opened or our ancestors have opened. So it would have to be a rare person that doesn't have their share of demonic activity, I would think. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that, you know, and you know, I didn't realize all the generational stuff, you know, my family and life that, you know, was being, you know, affecting me, you know, and everything. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that we don't realize affects us, you know. And also, you know, being ministry, you know, you're also like a dartboard out there for the enemy to send attacks and everything. And we all know that, and we all battle and warfare against that. And we do break things off of each other and everything on a regular basis, you know, and go before the Lord and, you know, put stuff in his hands and everything. But sometimes under some attack, sometimes you just need a little extra help, you know. You know, sometimes we might face things that we can't fight on our own. Then we need that strength, you know, of other people coming together, you know. And so go get the help you need. Don't sit there and suffer or, you know, like I said, let pride come in or fear, you know. That was another thing, you know, that fear of certain things in my life. And it was like you were able to take me back, and Jesus showed me where that originally entered into my life, you know. And it just had to do with a little child with rats, you know. Rats is where,
yes,
you know, that originally came in, you know. So, you know, it doesn't, people don't have to worry about, you know, that you're going to be embarrassed or it's something horrible and bad in your life or something. It's just, you know, sometimes it's just little things that, you know, that can affect you. You know, majority of your life. So,
in our ministry, as you noted, Karen is not like the movies or and all that. It's very quite low key because of again the preparation we do with the people. We had heavy stuff years ago. I've been at it 42 now, and we had plenty of heavy manifestations and violence and all in the beginning. But over a period of time, we kept learning things and learning from other ministries, and it's evolved now to where we find ourselves as kind of a special ops ministry in the body of Christ, special commando unit, I guess, ministering to the church at large and helping the Christians from all over. And it's just like our ministry is made up of people from all kinds of churches, and even the people that come are the same way. So it's kind of neat. We're our own nonprofit corporation. And so we're not under any doctrine of any other church. We just read it and do it, you know. And it's worked out pretty good all these years later. We do a good 700. We did 738 cases last year. And it's been that way for a number of years. I haven't, I guess I ought to sit down and multiply that out. We've hopefully made some dent on the enemy. And yet it's a drop in the bucket considering the need. Most Christians, it's a fraction of 1% of the Christian body in the United States that would receive this type of ministry.
Well,
would you consider that?
You know, it's not anything to be afraid of or anything, you know. I would recommend it to anyone to go do it, you know. I was very relaxed and everything through it all. You know, there's not anything scary about it or frightening, and all the people involved in it are friendly and, you know what they're doing, you know. And, you know, it's just like you're saying, you've become real professional in it, you know, to where just like, you know, the doctors have different specialties. They specialize in this or they specialize in that. Well, that's what you're specialized in. So, you know, with years of experience and the direction of the Holy Spirit to lead you and show you better ways to do it and how to make it, you know, all more effective. So,
yes. Yeah, that's kind of the way it's come down. And of course, you probably found it kind of fun. Would you say that?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you.
You kind of enjoyed going through it. It was kind of fun, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to encourage people not to be afraid. There's really nothing to be afraid of. So. And usually, if you're feeling afraid, well, it's that thing that's been attacking you that's afraid.
You got it. That's exactly right. When people says that scares me, well, it's the spirits within them that rise and they're squirming in there because they don't want to lose their house.
Yeah,
and the person kind of backs off. We've seen that happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just got, we're out of time here, Karen. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. You did great there. It was a great testimony. We'll encourage others. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, too, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Karen. God bless you.
2 Peter 1:7, this is from the Amplified. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound judgment and personal discipline, ability that result in calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That is still a truth. Pastor, our next caller is on the air. Caller, thank you for joining us.
Hello. My name is Osvaldo Melgati.
Yes, yes. Osvaldo, thank you for calling in. Excited to have you on, and you have a lot to share. And why don't you go ahead and just give some history on yourself and when you were born again, which I know was way back, and then how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like here recently and any changes you've seen and any other experiences you feel led to share. Go right ahead.
Okay, I really appreciate this opportunity. I was born in Argentina in a Christian family. The majority of the families in Argentina are Catholic. Mine wasn't. Mine was, they were evangelical kind. So when I was only 4.5 years old, I remember listening to the preacher and listening to him to say that God didn't have any grandchildren. He only have children. So I realized that, and I remember feeling that I wasn't his son because I had sin in my heart, and I asked him to forgive me, and I received him as my savior. Because my family didn't believe, because I was a child, I did that announcement to different times when different preachers were asking for receiving Jesus, and I went up in the front just lifting my hands, but not because I wasn't sure what I had, it's because I want to show the others that I really did it. And later on in life, when I was 14 years old, I learned about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to receive the power of God in my life in order to be able to live as God wants me to live. And I remember that was in Easter camp, and it was a youth Easter camp, and I remember listening to these people talking about how God was able to use the apostles and people that to witness Christ to others, and but they didn't do it in their power, but after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, yeah, I want to have that. And I remember the verse when they say, I came that you may have life and have it in abundance. And I say, I want to have that abundant life, Lord. I really do. And so I remember sitting down and asking the Lord, say, what the Holy Spirit, and say, what do you don't like it for me? And I start writing down in a piece of paper, and I fill a whole page off of them. And I say, well, and I remember that I said, well, I know that somewhere in the Bible says that if I confess all my sins, you will forgive them. And then I remembered that you say that if I want to be filled, that you order us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I asked, Lord, that you fill me. And I received such a blessing. I received the power of God. And I lift myself. I remember coming off of that room like I was, you know, in the air. And I'm thinking, wow. And after that, I started sharing the gospel with my guys in the school, and others receiving the Lord Jesus with me. And I remember started where I was working with a group that they called, they were from Campus Crusade from Christ, and get involved with them in a discipleship and start helping others to receive the Lord and working with that. And I did that for a while. And when I was 16 years old, one Sunday, it was August 28th in 1977. And I remember the Lord was calling me for having a very intimate relationship with Him. And I remember being praising and going and praying, and it was a whole morning I did like that, because that I was visiting a church that it was my own church, and during the morning they were doing ministering to children. So I didn't have much to do because I was I was after I went there as an invitation, and then in the afternoon, somebody invited me to ride a motorcycle, and from now on, I don't remember anything, but I know because they told me. I ride a motorcycle, and a little bit there, I had a big crash. And in one moment, that's the only thing I remember, in one moment, I was in heaven. I saw angels walking, it's a big old ladder, stairs there, and I saw Jesus coming to me and holding my arms and telling me, you're my beloved son. And I say, me? I'm a sinner. And he said, don't remember that I died for you? And then he turned me around and looked at one dark place that were there, and they say, you see that? And I realized that that was the world. I say, yeah? I say, you need to come back there. And I said, but Lord, this is good. I can stay here. And he said, no, you need to come back there because you have a lot of things to do. And the next moment I saw myself like I was in the first floor, and I saw myself in the pavement, the motorcycle, the car, and me. And then I moved my hand, and then I was 8 days in coma. And when I wake up, the first thing I remember is because I had a vision, and I started preaching the gospel to the nurses, to the doctors, whoever were in that room, and I started sharing the gospel there. And it was amazing. But, you know, a week later, I realized that I lost a leg. And that was tough. And I said, I was only 16 years old when I lost that leg, And then I questioned God. I said, why me? And the Lord just talked to my ear and said, my grace will be sufficient for you because my power will be perfected in your weakness. So I said, okay. I don't know why you did it, but I trust that you have a good purpose for all these things that happened to me. And after that, I learned, life wasn't easy to start going back to high school. I was in the middle of that year. But by faith, I said, well, you know, I learned to start walking crutches. And I said, well, Lord, if I can do this, I can do more. And then later on, I learned how to, my parents bought me a first prosthesis. But remember, that was down south in Argentina, so yeah, it was very elementary stuff, and God used all that for me to learn to depend on Him. And after in 1980, I came the first time to the United States to buy a prosthesis, and I feel a really deep desire to serve the Lord in all the things I was doing. So I was sharing my experience with many people. And what happened one time, then I met my wife here, and we got married in 1983. And one time I remember we were traveling in South America, in Buenos Aires, at the beginning of the bus. And we were like three or four people in the bus that we started. And I felt something weird. I am thinking, this is something weird. He looked like somebody have a demon, something like that. And I saw a guy there, and I start praising God and say, the blood of Jesus cover ourselves. The blood of Jesus cover ourselves. And I remember calling my wife and said, look, you will see in a little bit that one of these guys will walk away because we are praying for the blood. And we prayed, and yet, the first block, it was a stop, a life stop. And that gentleman just couldn't stand in that bus, and he walked away. And I thought, well, you see, the power of the blood really did it. But then I thought, but poor man, he's going there with all that stuff in himself, you know. I really want to learn how to be able to set these people free. And so year went by, and like
10 more years went by, and we were able to participate in a big outreach down in South America, in Argentina, where this preacher, his name is Anacondia, he preached the gospel, and he really started talking to the host that is in the spiritual host that are around the city, and he started commanding this thing to stop and go away. So people, when received the Lord, they will start walking, and when he was commanding these hosts, these people was falling down because they had those spirits, those head spirits, and that's when I learned how to help these people to, you know, set them free, and we were able to talk and pray and command this thing to come up. But it wasn't until not too long ago that after so many years, we started working with a ministry, what they call Cellular Recovery, in a Spanish church here in Oklahoma City. And with that ministry, many people were being set free, but many of them, they went back on the old stuff. And I said, how do these people can be able to set them free for a while and they go back to an old type of life that really bound them up? And then I learned about your ministry, about the deliverance ministry. And I thought, this is a good place to go and learn a little more of what I always was trying to learn. And that's when I was able to come to one Monday night, and my wife was there first, and she really was so much impressed with all your ministry that then the next time we were with another pastor from our church, and the Lord really showed me things that it was from a long time sending me to allow me to do things that I shouldn't be done, and the Lord set me free in that moment. So what else I can help you? What else I can talk?
Praise God. Well, yeah, you're doing great there. That was so exciting about your near-death experience. I have about 10 books on that, and it's so awesome how so many did see Jesus, and he sent them back to do something, and that was your case. And the interesting thing, you want to stay there. Well, that's what most people seem to say, unless there's been, of course, people that have children yet to raise, and they'd want to go back, or the Lord would just send them back, nevertheless, because they have a mission. And that's exactly what you're doing. So, well, when you went through your deliverance, did you see some changes?
Yeah, I need to share something in this aspect. When I had my accident, my father, who in that time he was just a regular Christian, go to church every Sunday, and except when he had a motorcycle race, he didn't go to church because he went to the race. But after I had my accident, the Lord really called him, and because he realized that I could be dead. You know, and he knew that, man, the Lord sent me him back, and he gave his life to the Lord full, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit too, and he was the one who started a lot of delivering ministry down in Argentina, and he was able to work a lot about that. And me from here, I used to listen from all the things that he was doing, and I say, I want to learn to do that better. And so when I was able to, when I met you, Mr. Cock, I realized that how many things were pretty similar to happen to my dad. how the Lord used him in the way that he used you to, and in the way that we can participate with the Holy Spirit in restoring life for others, and help others to be set free from addiction and bad experience that they have, that Satan hold them like captive on things when they can be free. And so I am very excited to be working with in Monday when I have a chance to go and learn how to set people free. And we already haven't quite experience in our own ministry, the Spanish ministry. My wife it's funny. I'm able to speak in tongue in another tongue, but my wife is not. But she is able to interpret. She's able to translate in the English to Spanish at the same speed. I mean, it's only by the power of God that she's able to do that, because nobody can speak at the same time and be translated at the same time. But she can do it, wow, and I know it's not her; it's the Holy Spirit who's talking to her and the other who's preaching next to her. And so that's why she took this very seriously, and she's been translating all your notes. So we can train a whole group of Spanish here, starting here in Oklahoma, and so people can be set free, and we can be ministering others and allow the Holy Spirit to really work through us and helping people to get well, get healthy, because the Lord sent us to not only preach the gospel, but to heal the sick and restore and set people free from chains from the devil. And he gave us all the power. It's nothing that is on us, but it's the Lord is using us. And that's what is being so wonderful.
That's awesome. Well, there was some talk you were planning on translating my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, into Spanish.
That's correct. We already did all the papers that you have from where we can be ministering already. The papers there are that you had in the table there. They're all being translated, and we are planning to in the next week to go when we go to the meeting. If they open the door, if we don't have more problem with the with the virus issue, but to present it to you so you can see it and allow see how you guys can work and put it in the website, so it can be used for many other people.
Yes. Now, you head up the Spanish ministry at a large local church here, Victory Church. And
right.
So that you'll be able to start incorporating some of that, I guess, with your people there.
Oh, yes, yes. It was very interesting that in one of my training, we were working and ministering somebody from the Victory Church but it was the American side. But we already been working with several who speak Spanish, and in the group that we're working with, Celerate Recovery in Spanish, we have during what we call 12 step, and there is one time when they need to do a list of sins and stuff like that. They need to declare and repent and do the thing. We usually do a retreat. And during that retreat is when we will be using your product, your course. to work with them to deliver people, because there is when the people are ready and they open their heart, but they don't know how to close door. And that's what I'm learning, how to teach the people to close the door, so that way Satan had no more room for work, you know, go back
gentlemen,
and destroy your life again.
We're out of time. Sorry, gentlemen. We're out of time. I do
thank you, Silvano.
Testimony this night. And,
okay.
We appreciate
it.
Joining us. So,
thank you very much.
Silvano, blessings to you. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, God bless you, too. Thank you for letting me share.
God bless. Bye-bye.
That's deliveranceusa.com, where the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, by Pastor Cox. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we will see everybody next week. God bless, and have a good night.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
Authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.